and Goliath. We're going to be reading a good portion of this chapter as we go along. But at the outset, let's just read a few verses to get started. And let's start in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel with verse 45 and read down to verse 49. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. And He will give all of you into our hands." And as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, this would make a good movie, wouldn't it? As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. And reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. Now there's several things that I really want you to see in this story and how it may apply to your own life. How about impossible odds? An enemy that had never been defeated before. Very few resources, but David won. And so can you. Now, as I say, most are familiar with the story of David and Goliath. But is it the story of David, the giant killer? Or is it the story of David who let God fight the battle and win the victory and defeat the giant for him? David faced the giant in faith and with courage, knowing who his God was and what his God could do. Because he had seen him do it before. And he knew he could do it again. But what about the giants that you confront? The battles that you face in your life? Are you trying to be the giant killer? And face the enemy and win the battle by yourself on your own in your own strength? Or do you run from the battle? Cower before the giant in fear, feeling helpless, hopeless, thinking only of how impossible it all seems. Do you hide, shut yourself in, and let doubt, discouragement, maybe even depression take over? Do you say, "There's just nothing I can do. This will never go away. Things will never get better." Or are you giving your battle to God? Letting Him fight for you to bring down the giant and to win the victory in your life? Will you step out in faith? Will you move forward with courage? Will you trust completely in God who will fight and win the battle for you and bring down the giants in your way? David and his battle with Goliath is really a great example for us how we are to let God fight our battles and defeat the giants in our lives. And when you see God's place in the battle and you follow His direction with courage and faith in Him, you too can win over any giant that comes in your way. no matter the odds, the impossibilities, or what things might look like. See, the battle is not yours. Somebody's going to get this. The battle is not yours, but God's. So stop fighting. Stop worrying. Start believing. Because it's God's battle. And that's the title of my message today. God's battle. Lord, thank you for this great time to be here with you, with your people in your house. Thank you that we can look to you and to your word. God, I know that you have a message for each one of us today. I don't think there's a person in this place that has not or maybe is not facing a battle or an enemy or a giant in their life. Lord, help us to be David's and let you be God and let you have the battle. Speak to every heart and every life by your Spirit through your word and through your servant. For I ask one more time for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon me to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So what giant do you face? What battle do you need to give over to God? I see three main things that we really need to look at in this story. The first thing is the giant, Goliath. What do we know about this big brute? Well, he's described for us back in the opening verses of the 17th chapter. Look at verses 4 through 7. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung in his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod and its iron point weighed 600 shekels and his shield bearer went ahead of him. I guess you could say that Goliath was kind of a big boy for his age. The Bible literally reads that his height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits and a span. Now, if you know anything about Bible history, a cubit was a common unit of measure of length in those days. And a cubit essentially was from the tip of the middle finger to the point of the elbow. And on the average person, that is about 18 inches, or a foot and a half. A span was essentially half of a cubit. A span was, with the fingers extended, from the tip of the thumb to the tip of the little finger, or about 9 inches. So that tells us that if Goliath was 6 cubits and a span, that he was about 9 feet 9 inches tall. I thought a lot about that. How tall is 9 feet 9 inches? Now, I remember going to my first NBA basketball game and seeing those basketball players, and I was pretty impressed and felt pretty small when I saw those 7-footers. Minister Stanley, I need some help. Would you come and help me? Now, you may have to climb this ladder a little bit. Be careful. We don't want any accidents in church. Okay? But you take this and pull it up. Keep going. Get a little higher. Keep going. You're not there yet. All right, hold on a minute. Let's see. Let me get down here. All right, drop it down just a little bit. Okay? There we go. That's 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Woo-wee! How'd you like to face that guy? Thank you. I appreciate your help. That's how tall this guy was. I guess I better move this. He's tall, but not only that, he's covered with armor. His armor, the Bible says, was 5,000 shekels, which in modern equivalent is about 125 pounds. Just his coat. You Marines carried a lot of stuff. Our soldiers, we carried a lot of stuff. That's a lot of weight. What really impresses me is his spear. Just the head of the spear weighed 600 shekels. That's about 15 pounds. Who's strong? Who feels strong? Feel strong, Javier? No. This is 15 pounds. That's just the head of the spear. Can you imagine holding that thing? You want to try it? Walk around with it. You don't think 15 pounds is very heavy. 15 pounds, that's pretty heavy. To be the tip of your spear. This guy was big. I think we can all agree on that. This is the guy that was facing David in the Israelite army. Covered with armor. Carrying weapons, spear, sword, javelin, carrying this bronze armor. How would you like to face a guy like this in battle? Count me out. Next in line, please. I mean, David just simply had no chance. Talk about impossible. Can you see, you know, all the guys, all the Israeli soldiers in the trenches watching all of this, and David going out there. Can you imagine the soldiers? You know how soldiers are. Can you imagine them taking bets on how this thing was going to turn out? You know, and the guy's going up, hey, anybody want to bet on David? 100-to-1 odds, 1,000-to-1. Are you kidding me? I'm not telling you should bet. But can you imagine betting on David in this thing? I don't think so. I mean, come on, this would be like the Yucca Valley Trojan football team playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl. This would be kind of like shooting at an M1A1 Abrams main battle tank with a water pistol. He was a mountain of a man. Not only his size and his impenetrable armor, but with his weapons, he was also capable of inflicting a lot of pain. I wonder if you've ever faced a mountain in your way. Insurmountable odds blocking your path. A problem, a situation that's not only bigger than you are. Anybody ever face something that's a lot bigger than you are? Not only is it bigger, but maybe it's causing you an awful lot of pain and hurt and inflicting a lot of damage. Are you facing a Goliath? The Bible tells us that Goliath was also a champion. Verse 4, it calls him a champion named Goliath. You know, that tells me that Goliath always won. That's what it means to be a champion. It means that you win. Goliath never lost a fight. It reminds me of the woman in Mark chapter 5. The woman that had, it's often called the issue of blood. But she was subject to bleeding, hemorrhaging. Mark chapter 5. Verses 25 and 26. It said a woman was there in this crowd gathering around Jesus who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. That's a long time. 12 years. It says she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all the money that she had. Anybody relate to that? But instead of getting better, she got worse. 12 years. Every doctor, she had been to every specialist in town. She got one referral after the next referral. You know how it goes. Spent all of her money. She just got worse. The problem didn't go away. It was her giant. Her giant always won. Her giant never lost a fight. We go back to Goliath in verses 8 through 10. It says, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." Goliath, on top of everything else and maybe worse than everything else, he defied the Israelites and their God. And he created fear in the hearts of those who opposed him. He stood there, he taunted, and he dared them to beat him. I think that's the worst thing of all about the battles that we're in and the giants that we face. Is the fear that it creates in our hearts. I know we don't have any worriers in church today. I know they all stayed home. All the worriers are on vacation this week. It's the fear. And then verse 11 goes on and it says, "On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified." King Saul, the whole Israelite army was terrified. Have you ever been there? Ever faced anything like that? Maybe there's something that you're afraid of. It's causing you fear and worry right now. Verse 24, if you want to jump down there, it says, "When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear." I wonder, what are you most afraid of right now? What's causing you concern? What's causing you worry? Maybe fear in your own life right now. Do you have some kind of a problem, a situation that dares you to find a solution? Causes you fear and doubt. There's something else we need to note further about Goliath, and I think it's something that's often overlooked, is the fact that the giant was not alone. We always talk about David and Goliath. That's not the whole story. Goliath was not alone. The Bible tells us that he was accompanied by and preceded by another guy. His armor bearer. Look back at verse 7. It says that his shield bearer went ahead of him. This shield bearer, this guy went ahead of him to carry Goliath's shield and to offer him extra protection. And my guess is that this shield bearer was probably a pretty formidable guy all on his own. Can you imagine a 9 foot, 9 inch tall guy having some little wimp being his shield bearer? I don't think so. He was probably a 7 footer himself. Pretty big strapping guy himself. especially to be able to carry Goliath's shield. See, the problem that David was facing was that in order to get to the giant, he had to go through the shield bearer first. So David faced not one enemy, but two. So we ought to call this David and Goliath and his shield bearer. Do you ever hear the old saying, when it rains, it pours? Isn't this something how problems and situations often come in multiples? Do you ever notice that? Stuff seems to arrive in bunches. You know, you lose your job, and then your car breaks down. You get sick, and then all the bills start coming in. I remember a while back, I was dealing with a stressful situation. In the middle of that situation, a big bill came in the mail. Don't you hate that when you go to the mailbox and a big bill arrives? I just hate those things. More stress. More anxiety. And then the next day, I got a phone call about another huge problem that had to be dealt with. You know what my response was? Ah! You ever have any of those days? Sorry to disappoint you, but pastors have days like that too and sometimes react like that. Did you ever say, God, how much more can I take? Huh? Don't ask. What are you doing to me, God? How much more can I take? Not something else on top of it. I mean, David really faced impossible odds. Goliath and his shield bearer at the same time. So we looked at Goliath. Now we need to go on and look at the second part of the story, and that's David, the young man. I mean, who was this David? He was a big, strong, well-trained soldier, right? No. David, the Bible tells us, was just a young man. He's referred to as a boy, but he was probably perhaps a teenager. But we do know that he was the youngest of his family. And if you look at verses 12 through 15, it says, now David was the son of an Ephraimite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. And Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep. That's what David did. He was the youngest. He was the runt of the litter, so to speak, and he tended the sheep at Bethlehem. Jump down to verse 33. Saul replied to David, "You are not able to go out and fight against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he has been a fighting man since his youth." David's not only young, but all as he knows how to do is tend sheep. You know, he had to fight one of those big, awesome, gnarly sheep, right? No. Just sheep. He was no soldier. He was no fighter. He had no training. He had no weapons. He had no protection. You know, sometimes when we're faced with our giants, what it does is reveals how small and incapable we really are. Did you ever feel like, I'm not ready for this? Why now? Of all times, why now? I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to handle this situation. Do you ever have a problem, a situation, a crisis put you flat on your back at the end of your rope? Nowhere to go. Nothing you can do. Nowhere to turn. What do we do now? Sometimes your giant can seem so much bigger than you are. What am I going to do now? But I like verse 26. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine?" Everybody else is terrified. Everybody else is shaking in their boots, cowering in the trenches, afraid, terrified of this 9-foot, 9-inch brute. But what is David asking? What's the reward we get when you kill him? There was some faith in this guy. There was some faith in this heart, in this young man, in this shepherd boy from Bethlehem. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? And I love this. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? How dare he that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this Philistine that he should defy my God? I think this was a defining moment for David. Faith. Faith begins to rise up in his soul. And he is disgusted by how this giant has everybody cowering in fear. He's offended by Goliath defying God and the armies of Israel. And I can see David looking around at all these Israeli soldiers cowering in fear. And he says, "Are you guys just going to stand around here in fear and in worry? Are you going to let this guy beat you?" I think he looks at him and says, "Guys, we may be facing a giant, but he's facing somebody a lot bigger than he is." Woo! We may be facing a giant, but he's facing somebody a lot bigger than he is. What are you going to do, guys? Are you just going to give in? Are you just going to give up? Are you just going to quit? Are you going to let this big bum win? Friends, sometimes our hearts need to be stirred. We need to get fired up. We need to let faith begin to rise up in our soul. We need to let faith overcome our fear. And we need to realize, you need to realize that the problem and the giant may be bigger than you, but it's not bigger than God. And you need to say, "This is enough. This is enough. No more, devil. No more, Satan. I've had enough. God is bigger. God is greater than you are. And I'm not going to let you win anymore. I'm not going to let you defeat me. I'm not going to let you beat me up. I'm not going to let you steal my joy anymore. I'm not going to let you rob me of the victory that God has for me." My friend, God is bigger. Somebody say bigger. God is bigger than any giant that you face, and God is greater than any problem in your life. And David was encouraged. He might have only been a shepherd boy from Bethlehem, but he was encouraged by what God had already done in the past. Look at verses 34 through 37. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep, but when a lion or a bear came, and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it." What's he saying? When the enemy comes in and steals a sheep, I didn't just let him do it. I went after it. Somebody here needs to stop letting the devil carry your life off. And you need to go after it. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. And I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, and I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. Now watch verse 37. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Guys, there's a couple things you got to get a hold of right here and now. God had already been preparing David for this moment. God had already been preparing David to face Goliath. God is already preparing you to face your giant. David had already seen God work powerfully in his life, and he knew what God could do. And it inspired his faith in what he could do now. I want you to think of what God has already done and how He has prepared you for this time and for this moment. If He did it before, come on, somebody's going to get this. If He did it before, He can do it again. If He did it before, He can do it again in this battle with this giant. Because the third part is, the battle is God's battle. And this is the best part of the story. Verse 41, meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. And he looked David over and he saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "All right. Come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, right here, right now, the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth." He's given it all back to him. Stop taking all the devil's junk and throw it back at him. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. For all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands. Notice with me, please, that David took the fight to Goliath. I didn't read verse 40, so I will now. Verse 40. Then David took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream. He put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. David took the fight to the giant. I think again about that woman in Mark 5 who was subject to bleeding, hemorrhaging for 12 years. She could have just stayed holed up in her room, locked in her fear and her depression, mad at God, mad at the doctors, mad at the world. But she didn't stay where she was. She didn't stay holding on to defeat. She took action. And in faith, she went to Jesus. My friends, that's just what you need to do. That's exactly what you need to do. Don't just sit where you are in doubt, defeat, depression, fear, getting beat up. Move out. Move forward in faith and let God fight for you and bring you the victory. And as we wrap this up, look at how David fought this battle. He didn't use the normal weapons. He didn't fight in the regular way. There was no use to that. Verses 38 and 39 explain that when Saul dressed David in his own tunic, he put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and he tried walking around because he wasn't used to them. "I can't go in these," he said to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So he took them off. David fought with what he knew, in simple faith in what God could do. My friend, hear me. If you fight your giant, your battle, your enemy in your own strength, you will lose. In your own strength, on your own, you will lose. But David stepped out in courage with faith in his God, and he let God do the fighting for him. He knew his God. He knew what he could do, and he let him do it. Friend, it's about time you let God be God. And you let him do what only he can do. You let him do what only God could do. David knew. Listen, David knew that God was not going to let Goliath win. You got that? David knew that God was not going to let Goliath win. And he knew that God with him was greater than the giant that he faced. And he said, "The battle isn't mine anyway. It's God's battle." Will you let God do what only God can do? Will you let him fight the battles and the giants in your life? When you give your battles to the Lord and you follow His leading and you let Him fight for you, He will defeat your giants and He will bring you the victory. Because God always responds when people trust Him. When they move forward in faith and they let Him do the fighting. Because it's God's battle. It's not yours. It's not your battle. It's not your fight. It's God's. So how do you fight your battles? How do you face your giants? Is it your fight? Is it your battle? Or do you let God do it? Do you let Him fight it? David learned this lesson that we must learn too. Verse 50. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. He won the battle. He defeated the giant by giving the fight over to God. My friend, you can't. You can't do it. But God can. God can. So what battle, what giant do you need to give over to God today? And here's my invitation. Will you step out in faith? Will you trust God to fight for you and bring you the victory? I wonder who here needs a healing? Who needs a breakthrough? Who needs an answer to prayer? Who needs a win today? Who needs to believe God to make a way for you? Who needs to come to move forward? To let it be God's battle. He's done it before. He's done it before. And He'll do it again. Stu's going to put on this powerful song that says just that. Do it again. And while this song is played, if you've heard anything that applies to you, if God is speaking to you, the Holy Spirit is ministering to you, there's something that you're dealing with, a giant, a battle, a fight that you need to give over to God and let Him win the victory for you. If you know what God's done before, you know what He can do and you need Him to do it again. While this song is being played, I want you to come. Even if you just want to come to the front with your hands lifted and your eyes toward heaven and say, God, enough is enough. I'm not going to sit here in this anymore. I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm not going to let the devil win, the devil beat me up, steal my joy, rob my victory anymore. I'm moving forward with courage and faith in You, and I'm going to give the battle to You. You've done it before, God. I know You can do it again. Hallelujah. The altars are open. God is here for you to come.
For You have never failed me yet. stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. never will forget. You've never failed me yet. And I never will forget.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.